Hey everybody, welcome into the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you so much. This is episode number 41 in our daily podcast series. Happy hump day, happy Wednesday to you all. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We are now on the Google Play app. So we were on Google Podcasts as well, but now we are on Google Play for all you Android users out there. Also on Apple Podcasts, of course, Spotify. So wherever you get your shows, make sure you subscribe. Give us a rating too. We'd really appreciate that. On the show today is a very special guest. I'm really honored and just humbled to have Luke Russert join me here to talk about the team, to talk about what he's been up to recently. As I'm sure you're well aware, Luke kind of took a break from the daily grind of everyday journalism. He has been, as you'll hear in our interview coming up, traveled the world, really, and has some really exciting things coming down the pike. And it was just a really good conversation with Luke. I really enjoyed our time here talking about that, and then also about the team this year and kind of his take on what's going on and of course, where he would go if he were in Buffalo today for wings. So it was a good conversation. I'm happy to bring it to you all. Here's my conversation with Luke Russert. All right, I want to welcome Luke Russert to the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. Hey, Luke, it's such a pleasure having you on. Thanks for coming on, first of all.
It's a pleasure. Any time you can talk about the Buffalo Bills, especially after a victory, is time well spent.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're able to do it. Hey, I just wanted to start just maybe kind of take a step back a little bit for when the Bills ended the drought and just kind of take fans back to where you were, and you know, last year having the Bills snap that 17-year drought. We talked a little bit off the air about how we're both like 80s babies, and we were really young. Yeah. We were really, really young when they were in the Super Bowl, and I'm sure you spent a lot of time with your folks then and parties throughout the 90s, but you know, our entire kind of high school and college time, it was a pretty dismal campaign, you know, season, every season for the team. And then to kind of finally get that weight lifted off our shoulders, just for fans, like, where were you? What were you doing at that time?
Well, I think people who listen to this will get it because they're diehard Bills fans. But we had, I believe, the longest playoff drought in professional sports.
Right.
Now, the last time the Bills made the playoffs, Bill Clinton was president. Because, the Blue Jays made the playoffs a few years ago, so that jumped over us. So, that was painful. And seeing that graphic was brutal. I mean, every single NFL season to have to see that in a 1999 right up there, not to mention you and I both have memories of the forward lateral in Tennessee.
Yes.
How much of a disaster that was, the tragedy in Tennessee, as we like to say. So getting that past us was huge. I have a really interesting story. I happened to be in Cartagena, Colombia for New Year's Eve, and I was in a hostel in. They had this sort of funky setup where they were able to get a few of the NFL channels in Spanish with kind of audio that would go in and out. And there was another game that ended. I think it was like the Denver game ended, and then they flipped over to that Cincinnati-Baltimore game. And at this point, I just, I just not watching for the hell of it, but there's no chance this is going to happen. And I'm watching, and Dalton to Boyd happens, and I just, at first, I go, there's going to be a penalty. There has to be a penalty, there has to be 12 down the field, there, something was off. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of, I don't really have the audio, so I can't hear the announcers, and I'm like counting to Mississippi like 10 minutes, right?
Right.
And it goes in, touchdown. I haven't gone crazy yet, though, because I'm like, this is the Bills. They're going to return the kickoff for a touchdown. I just know the Ravens are going to do that. And so I kind of sat there, and then I saw the final score, 0-0-0. I actually had to talk to my cousin from Buffalo just to make sure that all the math playoff scenarios were true, that people weren't BSing us.
Right.
And then I just broke down. I was so happy. And I'm not a big crier, but it was just all those years, just off 17 years of pain and anguish. All the times you have with your family and friends watching that team blow it the last second, and just finally to put that behind us, felt great, man. I'll never forget that. I mean, that was one of the greatest feelings not only as a sports fan, but as a human being. It's just the ultimate weight off your shoulder.
And then, you know, it made everything after that. I think this season's easy. You know, if they win a few games, great. If they have a good draft pick, whatever. That playoff appearance makes me content for at least another 2 or 3 years. Now, some of those columnists will say that's the problem, that we as fans are too content with perpetual mediocrity or failure. Yeah. But when you've been in the cellar since 1999, and you get to the playoffs, we can take that. I'll trust the process for another year at least.
Yeah, for sure. Now, your father, well documented, your grandfather too, just really kind of brought you up in the Bills, you know, fandom, I guess, and yeah. I could probably say the same for, you know, my family as well, and just a lot of Buffalo families, and your father was such an epitome of a Bills dad, and
right,
and yeah. I just, you know, I think a lot of people can latch on to that, and just. You know, I remember having my own, like, pajamas as well, Bill's pajamas. Just what were your kind of, like, first memories with him growing up as a fan and being in Western New York?
Some of my earliest memories, I remember how despondent he was after Scott Norwood. You know, I was really young for that, but I still remember it. He went up to Buffalo to watch the second Super Bowl at the American Legion Hall in South Buffalo. I remember just the sad faces of all those veterans, those Bills fans. We actually went to Super Bowl III and IV, both against Dallas. You know, they got blown out in the one out of the Rose Bowl in number 3, so that wasn't really a big deal. I mean, I think people were upset, but Don Beattie kind of made that better by that hustle play, and that was such a lopsided score. What were you going to do? I think the fourth one really hurt, though, because they were leading at halftime, and they just seemed to have momentum. They were playing really well, so I remember that vividly. But, you know, my father used to regale me with stories about how his dad, my grandfather, would take him to the old rock pile back when they were the AFL, Cookie Gilchrist. You know, my grandfather used to always say, well, I saw the Bills win championships, which is true, because they did win the 2 AFL titles.
That's right.
Which, for Bills fans of a certain generation, that's very significant, especially pre-NFL merger, after the mid-60s. But no, I was like you. I had the pajamas. I had the Jim Kelly mini uniform. You know, I grew up in Washington, D.C., so I would wear the Jim Kelly, you know, mini uniform, and then my friends would all have, like, you know, Mark Rippon or Art Monk or Dale Green Redskins stuff. And, you know, I would play touch football in the yard with my Jim Kelly stuff on. You know, I liked being different in that respect. And having a team to go to 4 straight Super Bowls is incredible. But then it just sort of grew from that. Like, I went to Boston College. You know, in the junior territory, so I proudly would fly the Bills flag, you know, every Sunday, wore all my gear, endured just constant taunts. I went to every game they had at Gillette, you know, the Kelly Holcomb era, J.P. Hossman era. Was terrible, but it was just sort of enduring. And then when I got older and discovered the beauty that is the Bills backer bars of various cities in America, that to me is just the most fun thing you can do. And I've been to Bills backer bars in Chicago, New York, Miami, Los Angeles, Dallas, San Francisco, I mean, everywhere. And it's just, it never gets lost, and it never gets old to me. And I think that's just, that fandom is ingrained in you at a young age from your family. And it's not just the Bills, though. It's sort of just Buffalo culture in general.
Yeah,
you know, any Bills backer bar I go to, I can make friends, you know, 5 minutes if I don't know anybody, and then enjoy a plate of wings with that blue light. And that's the perfect Sunday. And I was in San Francisco for game 1, and the place erupted and played the shout song when we got that first down in the second half. That was great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a transplant as well. I now live in Atlanta, you know, site of that fourth Super Bowl that you brought up, and where the Super Bowl is going to be hosted this year. With that being said, and kind of in the same light as you, not growing up here in Atlanta, I grew up in Buffalo, but just when you just come across like some casual NFL fan or just other people not from Buffalo, and you talk about Buffalo in that way, and I think it's probably the same for you in D.C. wherever you're traveling. It's the same for me that I've noticed here. It's there's like this pride factor, and I really don't know how to describe it for Buffalo. And
because it's a way of life.
Yeah,
it's not just the team. The team and that's why I think it was so significant that the Pegulas were able to keep them in Buffalo, because I really think the psychological toll that would have taken would have been just terrible, correct? Mm-hmm. And I say this to people, so there are no casual Bills fans, because you can't be a casual Bills fan and endure what you've had to endure throughout the history of the franchise. And you see people, you know, they root for Dallas and New England, or, you know, some BS, like, oh, you know, I like the Steelers because I like the terrible Powell. And, you know, I like Cam Newton in Carolina, despite they've never set foot in the state of Carolina, you know?
Right.
So the Bills connection, it's not fair weather. It's real. And there's a pride in that. And, you know, I see that at one point when people were saying, well, who would you root for if you know, the Bills moved away? I said, you know, to be honest with you, I'd probably become a Cleveland Browns fan, because there's authenticity and pride there as well. There's pain felt there. There's a few other franchises that are like that, but not many. You know, and to be part of the Bills and the Bills Mafia, it's just so much more than a win or a loss or a fantasy football game. It really is. It's a culture. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. I agree. Before we get to this year's team, just what's going on with you personally, man? I know that you just watching Twitter. I mean, you're traveling around, and just kind of what's next for you?
A few years ago, I've been traveling the world. Kind of a wild story. I've been to 54 countries in the last 2 years.
Wow.
I'm in the process of writing about that, putting together a little multimedia project about that. So hopefully, if I can stay disciplined and produce, I'll be out sometime next year. And then I'll be back into the grind, and who knows, maybe I'll host a Bills podcast.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, you're always welcome to come down to Atlanta and go to this backers bars down here, man.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Glad to hear that. So with this team in 2018, you know, coming off the playoff season, the win, obviously, this past Sunday, and Josh Allen getting his first road start, first road win, it was really impressive. Obviously, the highlights, diving, you know, in for a touchdown, the hurdle. Just what are your impressions on this team and maybe this coaching staff? Because I think McDermott has a lot of support from the players. It's pretty evident over his, you know, short stint with the team. And just kind of your assessment of this Bills team.
Yeah, look, I trust the process. I think what they were able to do last year was absolutely extraordinary, given the talent that they had. There are a lot of folks that are very critical of McDermott for the Peterman start last year over Tyrod and starting off the year with Peterman. I think that was probably more of a fear of Allen behind a makeshift offensive line or not having enough weapons, not wanting the kid to start out on such a poor foot that it could have a psychological effect on him. I also think that if you watched the body of Tyrod's work, it just weren't a two-cent, you know, last-second commentator, you would see that while he was certainly affected at times, there were so many open throws that he missed. Or would not take because he was too conservative, that would drive a coach crazy. They would believe, well, hey, if I just have my gunslinger in there, you can make it. So I don't really fault McDermott too much for what he's done with Peterman. All that being said, the first game was really disheartening, and then the second game was disheartening. But I just knew, and I would talk about this with my buddies that I text with during the game, our defense was not that bad. I mean, something was wrong, because we returned roughly the same defense from last season, which was pretty damn good. So I was worried maybe there was something on tape that other teams had figured out, or maybe that maybe our guys were old. Maybe Alexander was old, Kyle Williams was old, and you had the safeties, Nico, and that. Jordan didn't have it. But I think whatever happened in the second half against the Chargers certainly lit a fuse under Leslie Frazier or turned the tide. So I think if our defense plays the way our defense can, we can be very competitive. And look, I mean, the AFC East, so far, we're almost a quarter way through the season. New England does not look like the New England we've been traumatized by the last 20 years. The Jets are the Jets, right? And we seem to play pretty well against Miami over these last few seasons, give or take. So, you know, could we be back into the playoffs? Probably not. I mean, we probably don't have the ability to. But then again, you know, we were the biggest underdog in years in the NFL in week three. We're able to pull that off. So I think we'll be competitive from here on out, especially if Allen continues to play the way he's playing. And, you know, the core coming back helps us out. We need a lot more from the wide receivers. I want Clay to be involved more. I'm kind of, I don't understand why he's not involved more, especially with a young quarterback who wants to dump off.
I agree.
The one thing I will say, though, that I'm terrified of, is while the Josh Allen hurdle was fantastic, I just have these fears of Carson Wentz and his knee injury last year, which, you know, he just got back from. And, yeah, you're big, you're strong, you're fast, you're mobile, you can take a hit, but, buddy, you got to slide sometimes. Like, some of the ways that Allen invites contact, you know, players see that on tape and they go for it. They want to take him out. So I hope to God he's a little bit more sensible in the next few games, because if he goes down, we're done.
There's no one behind him for sure.
No, there's no one behind him, and there's no Fitzmagic. Cardell Jones.
there's Nathan Peterman, and we've seen how that's gone for him so far. So
right, yeah, I mean, I think they would probably sign someone off the street.
You know, one of the coolest things about being a fan, right, and especially a Bills fan, is just the hope factor. And,
right.
You know, I always love – I mean, I love the season, right? I love the games. I love watching the team play. But it seems like, more so for me at least, that the off season is really juicy a lot of the times. And, you know, who are they going to sign, or, you know, what draft pick are they going to have, especially the draft. All the hoopla around that was crazy this year. You knew they were going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
I love that part of the NFL, the drama part, even when you're not in season.
I would argue that the Bills are probably had the most eventful offseason of any franchise, or if not the most, certainly up there.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the LeSean McCoy allegations, you had the draft of the quarterback, and Tremaine Edmonds, you had Richie Incognito having a complete mental breakdown. I hope he gets the help he needs. We had Vontae that was when the season started, but that was there. I think one of those guys, Gary Sullivan or Bucky, did the So Bills moment of since the playoff burns, of which there have been a few. I mean, what you're hitting at is something that I couldn't agree with you more, is that our off season are often more enjoyable than the season itself.
I know.
Because you do put so much into that hope. And I remember probably the most anxious I ever was as a Bills fan in recent years was when that whole Mario Williams signing was going down. Like, would he be able to sign on the dotted line before he left Buffalo, or you'll lose him out? You know, when we signed Mario Williams, it's, oh my gosh, this is a culture shift. Finally, finally.
And just,
yeah, you're hitting on something that I couldn't agree with you more on.
Yeah, and just the media attention it gets, you know, in Buffalo, and just with Buffalo media, is something you can't, you know, look away from.
You know, it's, Buffalo media is, I would argue that for such a small town, they have more people dedicated to one team. I mean, my God, they got like 25 people reporting on that team.
Right.
You know, that's almost what like the Giants and Jets get. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, they do.
I like all of them. I think all these tickets are hilarious. Like, I like to get mad at Mike Brodak because he's a closet Patriots fan.
Yeah.
But he's also a very good reporter.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I like to disagree with Jerry Sullivan because he says stuff that's so negative. But then I'm like, okay, but he makes a lot of strong points. And sometimes you get a sobering read from time to time. It's a blast.
It's an interesting landscape for sure. That's probably a whole nother podcast for a whole nother time. But, you know, I just, you know, thank you for coming on. And before we wrap up, where, if you're in Buffalo right now and you have to get your wings, where are you going?
Oh, so that's a tough question. Everybody has their little
preference.
Spot, right?
Yeah, right.
The hole in the wall that's the best, and my cousin. Girlfriend's dog walker turned me on to that no one else knows about, blah, 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 blah. I like the 9/11 Tavern Wings a lot. They've been written up a fair amount recently. That's if you want things that are more do their own kind of traditional spin on it. I like the Wings of the Black Thorn a lot, South Buffalo. Those are sort of more generic ones. I like the ones with Nova. But I gotta tell you, and this is cliche, but I just really like Duff's. There's just something about the fact that you know what you're getting, the spice is just right, the crispy is just right. I just like the Duff's, and that disappoints some people, but I just, for whatever reason, that palate of the Duff's just hits me. It's what I like.
But hey, that's
9/11 and Blackthorn.
Hey, that's what you like. That's what you like.
People get mad at me for that, and I go, well, the one issue you run into is that a lot of the smaller places, and they rightfully should do this, I'm not hating on them for doing it, but they will kind of, they take liberties with what a wing should taste like, because they're doing their own sauce, right? They're doing their own seasoning, their own kind of spin on it.
Yeah.
So if you like the spin they put on it, like at the 9/11 Tavern, I do like what they do there. It's great. Some of the other places, not so good. The thing about Duff's, though, is you know exactly what you're getting. And so I've always liked that about it. Plus, if you have out-of-towners, it's really easy to take them there, because no one dislikes the wings.
Yeah, you just like the consistency. There you go.
Correct.
That's awesome. Well, again, Luke, thanks for coming on. Hopefully, if the Bills make the playoffs here, or further down in the season,
I'll be back in a few months. I'd love to come back in a few months to see where we are, and talk about being in the hunt for the 20th year in a row, or possible playoff berth, or we can start scouting the draft in November.
Sounds
one
great.
One thing we should say though, the NFL totally screwed us with this schedule. This schedule was awful.
It was a brutal start. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And that's the thing that I wish the Buffalo media would dig deeper in on, because I'm convinced it has to do with the NFL is trying to force the Pagulas into some stadium upgrade or do something. Because we only have two home games out of 36. That's crazy.
Yeah. No,
absolutely crazy.
That is weird.
Putting us all those games in December, which I hope they're competitive in December, because that's just not fair. I think Bills fans get pelted with all the elements when there's nothing to play for.
Yep.
We'll see.
In the midst of all your traveling, will you get to a game this year, either in Orchard Park or on the road?
I usually try to go to one, either home or away. I'm eyeing up, I think the Bears game is where I'm looking at, because I think the Sabres play the Saturday night before. That's what I like to try to do, is I like when the Sabres play the day before, so you can do two birds, one stone.
Yep.
I think the Sabres are really good chance of getting the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they look really good. They look good as well. A lot of change on that team.
They've also had a culture change.
Yep.
And it's young and fun, and just get in there. It'll be fun.
Awesome. Well, Luke, we'll have you back on for sure. Thanks for doing this. Best of luck, man, in all your adventures. And I know people will be looking forward to whatever you compile at the end of all of it. It's quite the many trips around the globe. All right, Luke. Talk to you soon,
man.
Okay.
Bye-bye.